Hello, everyone. Annette Nada here, and welcome back to another episode of A Course in Miracles with Annette Nada. Today, we're still on What is Forgiveness, and we're on lesson 227. Annette's going to start us off today.
What is forgiveness? Forgiveness recognizes that what you thought your brother did to you has not occurred. It does not pardon sins and make them real. It sees there was no sin. And in this view are all your sins forgiven. What is sin except a false idea about God's Son? Forgiveness merely sees its falsity and therefore lets it go. What then is free to take its place is now the will of God.
An unforgiving thought is one which makes a judgment that it will not raise to doubt, although it is untrue. The mind is closed and will not be released. The thought protects projection, tightening its chains so that distortions are more veiled and more obscure, less easily accessible to doubt and further kept from reason. What can come between a fixed projection and the aim that it has chosen as its needed goal?
An unforgiving thought does many things. In frantic action, it pursues its goal, twisting and turning what it sees as interfering with its chosen path. Distortion is its purpose, and the means by which it would accomplish it as well. It sets about its furious attempts to smash reality without concern for anything that would appear to pose a contradiction to its point of view.
Forgiveness, on the other hand, is still and quietly does nothing. It offends no aspect of reality, nor seeks to twist it to appearances it likes. It merely looks and waits and judges not. He who would not forgive must judge, for he must justify his failure to forgive. But he who would forgive himself must learn to welcome truth exactly as it is.
Do nothing, then, and let forgiveness show you what to do through him who is your guide, your savior and protector, strong in hope, certain of your ultimate success. He has forgiven you already, for such is his function given him by God. Now must you share his function and forgive whom he has saved, whose sinlessness he sees, and whom he honors as the Son of God. What is forgiveness? Today, I know we had planned to go back to the introduction now that we really have taken a deep dive into what is forgiveness. Did you have anything that, though, came up for you while we were reading that?
Some stuff did, which is great because I was like, oh, do I bring it up? I know we wanted to do the intro, but I also had a few things that came to my attention while we were reading. One of those comes in paragraph 4. Now remember, all forgiveness is self-forgiveness. So while we're talking about, well, forgiveness is still quietly and does nothing, it doesn't raise a thought to doubt, all these different aspects of forgiveness, but the two things, and in this view, are all your sins forgiven, that's paragraph 1. Mm-hmm. And then the last sentence of paragraph 4, but he who would forgive himself must learn to welcome truth exactly as it is. I'm a little stumbly because I'm so excited about what I want to talk about.
Yeah, trying really hard to keep up with you.
So excited about what I want to talk about because when we're saying all forgiveness is self-forgiveness, that's just not some, I don't know, just cool way of looking at it. We're really saying self-forgiveness.
What does self-forgiveness mean to you?
Undoing all and letting go of all the stories I tell me about me. And so when we're working with forgiveness and we think so much like if it's forgiving someone else, oh, forgive your mom and dad for whatever they did, all that kind of stuff, you know, forgive your teacher, forgive whomever. Mm-hmm. When that, in A Course in Miracles, that seems to play a very small part in it. It's like we're
forgiving
others. Okay. It's like we're forgiving the ego we made for them, or we're forgiving that projection, but that's leading us ultimately to forgiving ourselves. The reason I think this is so important is exactly that. When our idea about forgiveness is outer focused, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But we also have to take it inside too. Forgiveness is an inside job. And we have to take it to that level. We just can't leave it as, oh, okay, I'm going to forgive whomever. I'm not going to get frustrated or upset and hold on to grudges or anything like that. Again, it's not like there's anything wrong with that work. But then if we just forgive everyone else, but then we still don't bring that forgiveness, that undoing to ourselves and our own beliefs about ourselves, to our own ego thought system and the ego that we've made for ourselves, then the ego's still not undone.
And that's more than just giving ourselves a pass.
Yeah, it is. It's more than just saying, well, you were doing the best you could.
Which is true. We're all doing the best we can with the awareness that we have at the moment.
But then sometimes we just say, well, I was doing the best I could, and then we leave it.
Yes, I'm really happy that we're, because yesterday when we did that, the last paragraph, do nothing then, and, you know, we had that long discussion, that just doesn't mean, you know, just, you know, go to the beach and don't do anything. It means, I mean, going to the beach is cool, but it not taking any action. It's do nothing from the ego thought system is what it's saying. But what we didn't address is how this would apply to self-forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And when I'm thinking of self-forgiveness, that really is kind of employing the R word, responsibility. I mean, that's how A Course in Miracles has worked for me anyway, is that when I, as I study A Course in Miracles through the years, because I was first caught up in what everybody else did to me. And, you know, how my second grade teacher said this and how this person said that and just had this laundry list of how I'd been everybody's victim. Mm-hmm. And I've been able to let go of the victimhood because I was putting myself in that position truly. I mean, there's really true times when we have our victims and we never want to minimize that. We never want to poo-poo that or just gloss over it. There, you know, there are times when we really have been a victim and we don't want to just for our own sake carry the victimhood throughout our lives. It's like, yes, I was a victim here and I'm going to make sure that I'm not taking that victimhood on as an identity that I just carry with me wherever I go, which is difficult, especially if you have been really victimized, you know. And so we don't want to ever minimize that at all. And yet, as I journey through A Course in Miracles, I've gone from what everybody else did to me in my perception, right? Oh, I just have to say a little aside. So I'm rereading the Fifth Agreement. And the Fifth Agreement is A Course in Miracles. It is just A Course in Miracles with slightly different words. It's the same concepts so much. I'm almost finished with it. And it's just so good. And it's like, oh my word, this is just another way to say what A Course in Miracles is teaching. And he says the same thing in the Fifth Agreement. And, you know, you might also know that as the Four Agreements, they just added on, he added on another one. But the whole idea of making sure that we don't victimize ourselves and making sure that, you know, the first agreement is be impeccable with your word. And it's what you say about yourself and how that just colors your whole experience. So when you're thinking of all forgiveness is self-forgiveness, what words are you saying even about yourself? You may have been on the journey that I've been on and it's like, okay, I'm learning to bring a lot of just peace to what's happened in the past, because, you know, we don't want to bring the past with us, but we typically do. But then how are we talking about ourselves? How are we thinking about ourselves? And he really even talks about, you know, am I too thin? Am I too fat? Am I this? Am I that? And all those ways that we disparage ourselves and keep ourselves low just with the words that we use. And I think that's a really big part of self-forgiveness, is to let a lot of that go. And, you know, those of us that have had negative self-talk for decades, that's a challenge. And then the Course of Miracles is here really to help us and say, you know, this isn't who you are. You're perfect, whole, and complete. You're not a body. You are free. You're who you are, still as your creator, love, created you to be.
That's another layer of integrity.
Like, tell me more about it.
Well, there's integrity, like my actions match my words. I do what I say I'm going to do. I, you know, being impeccable with your word. I, you know, on the surface, it sounds like, oh yeah, just be honest, tell the truth, all that. But there's a deeper layer to that, just like there's a deeper layer with integrity in A Course in Miracles, where even what we're saying, and this is what you're bringing up, is even what you're saying has to be, to ourselves, has to be the absolute truth too. And so that's the other layer of integrity, is if we're having integrity and living in integrity, even what we say to ourselves must be held to that standard, not just what we say to others.
And not in a militant way, like, oh, I have to try to be perfect now. It's more changing your relationship with yourself so you don't even go there with your thoughts. It's not like, okay, I just always have to, you know, I just have to do positive, 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 and then you have negative, and then you say, oh, no, I have to do the positive. It's not that, but it's actually doing your healing work so what comes up for you about yourself is positive.
What I found in my own journey with that, with not being militant, I guess, as you put, I never would have used that word. But what I have found is the more I do my own work, the more I want to. So like, let's say with diet and exercise, like when I first started exercising, like, I think I was either in middle school or high school. I wasn't really into that. Then I got more into, you know, fitness and that sort of thing. When I first started, like, I didn't want to at all. Like, I was more forcing myself. It was a big kind of like an ugh. But then as the years went on, it became a want to and even a get to. Same thing with my yoga practice. You know, when I first started yoga, I'll be honest, I hated it.
I remember I invited you to do yoga and you just like, I can't say what you said, but you didn't want to do it.
No, I didn't. I really did not. Then I found out, oh, there's different types of yoga and I had to find out which one actually works for me. I just thought, you know, all yoga is the same. The first video I ever saw and I said, oh, I hate yoga. Anyway, I don't want to make this too long. I guess my point is, even with my yoga practice, I went from, ugh, I hate this, to I not just want it, I need this. Like, it became, has become such a...
Well, you value it.
I value it, but it's also an integral part of, like, my morning routine and what I really enjoy in my life. And so there can be this shift where we go from the militant, where we say, okay, I want to be... really be conscious of my self-talk. What am I saying today? And it may be more, oh, don't say that. Oh, don't say that. But then as we continue on the journey, it becomes a much more natural. It's like we're traveling to turn a big boat here, turn a big ship, mm-hmm. and that's not going to happen. And sometimes we got to crank that wheel pretty hard. But then as we get more in line with where we want to go, it just becomes easier and gentler and more natural. And that's, I think, the journey of our self-forgiveness too, is where it can start out with this, you know, huge, heavy crank of the wheel. Like, oh, you know, we got to really, really, really turn this thing because we're way off course. But then as we go, it becomes less of a crank and more of just this gentle shift. It does take conscious practice and conscious effort though, because if we just go back to that ego autopilot, we're going to go back to that rut, that neural pathway that's just like, oh yeah, this is the old, as you say, the old shoe. This is the old, just the old road, the old path that's, you know, really worn down. I know the trail. I could do the trail in the dark. I don't need to think about it. I could just be on a more meditative jaunt. And it's just, oh yes, here I am. Oh, wow. I made it to the end. Where when we're changing our thinking, we're changing even our view of our self-talk and what we say, we have to consciously focus. Here's what I'm saying to myself. Do I really want to say that? And it feels like more work, and we may feel more militant in the beginning, but as we work with it and make that shift, it becomes more of this natural experience that's not a force. It just is the experience. I've seen that in my own life, and I've seen it in different areas of life, like I mentioned, whether in exercise, in yoga. I've seen it in my thinking where it was really, really hard at the beginning, but then it became the now I know this. Just like anything we learned in school. Like I remember trying to write those letters when I was a little kid, you know, my little shaky hand, you had those huge lines, you entered those three line papers, and it's like, okay, you only use the half of the three lines, the first two, if you're trying to make a lowercase letter. I'll then use all three for uppercase, and it's like really hard. But then now, you know, we practice with that. We practice all the time. You had to practice back then, it was blackboards. Mm-hmm. When I, there, and the teacher had those three lines that she drew on the board. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as we go, it's easier to write. As we go, we develop more of a vocabulary. And so it's easier, you could say, to speak or to read. And so we have this journey of learning that we need to apply to A Course in Miracles too, because it may be more difficult. We may have the shaky hand when we're first starting our self-forgiveness work. But as we practice it more, we'll get more and more steady, more and more confident, and it just becomes part of us.
And I think that's what he means by Course in Miracles is really learning to see differently, and it's to see everything differently, to see coming from seeing only from the ego thought system to seeing with the eyes, true vision, the eyes of love, and that applies to ourselves as well.
It's like watching a video on YouTube of, like, we were looking at your refrigerator the other day. Mm-hmm. It's like watching the YouTube video, mm-hmm. and then it's like, okay, that looks easy. And then we start to look at it, it's like, mm-hmm. no, it's not. Mm-hmm. And so we have like the owner's manual here, the user manual, but putting it into practice is a little more challenging, but that's not our cue to give up. That's our cue to like, okay, do we just need to work at this a little bit?
Well, and that's why there's 365 lessons, and there's a text to go with it, and there's the manual for teachers, and there's the prayer book. Uh-huh. I mean, there's we have a lot of supplemental help here, and yeah. And that's really why I just am so happy with what A Course in Miracles has done for my life, and what it can do for anyone that it speaks to. Like if this speaks to you, there's so many other ways. Like I said, even reading the Four Agreements or the Five Agreements, it's A Course in Miracles in different words.
Yeah.
And it's also very powerful.
Yeah.
So today we're doing lesson 227. This is my holy instant of release. And what starts with an affirmation or a prayer, however you would like to think about it. Father, it is today that I am free, because my will is yours. I thought to make another will, yet nothing that I thought apart from you exists. And I am free because I was mistaken and did not affect my own reality at all by my illusions. Now I give them up and lay them down before the feet of truth, to be removed forever from my mind. This is my holy instant of release. Father, I know my will is one with yours.
And so today we find our glad return to heaven, which we never really left. The Son of God this day lays down his dreams. The Son of God this day comes home again, released from sin and clad in holiness, with his right mind restored to him at last.
So this really actually totally goes with what we were just saying, is that we actually change our mind and follow the vision of love and not this seeing with the eyes of the ego thought system, where we're seeing ourselves as victims, even though we, you know, again, even though we may have been victimized, we don't want to take that identity for the rest of our life. And then also learning to love ourselves and to see ourselves with through the eyes of love, yeah. True love.
Because this is my holy instant of release. This is that self-forgiveness. This is that holy instant of release. And it's, I'm driving this point home of this is your holy instant of release. This is for us to say, this is mine. Because that's what we need to be who we're meant to be, who we were created to be, really.
So thank you for joining us today. Happy practicing.
We'll see you tomorrow.